This episode is sponsored by Feather Snack. Okay, hold on, y'all. I have to tell you about something that my wife got us into and that my whole family is loving now. Brace yourselves. It's the Feather Snap Scout Smart Bird Feeder. Yes, I said bird feeder. This thing is so cool, and it offers a brand new way to connect with nature and learn about the birds right in your own backyard. Or, if you're like us, living in New York City, it's in your friend's backyard in the country, and you get to use the app connected to it to learn all the stuff. It's got this high-resolution camera that connects to an app, so you can check out a live stream from your feeder. You can take photos and videos of the birds that visit. You can ID the species using expert-trained AI, and you can earn badges along the way. You can even, y'all, learn fun facts about hundreds of species. For example, did you know that American crows can recognize and remember people's faces? And they can even teach their young who's a friend and who's a foe? I know that now, did you? Seriously, the Feather Snap Feeder is entertaining, it's educational, and it's just a whole bunch of fun for the whole family. Check them out today at feathersnapcam.com. That's feathersnapcam.com. All right, y'all. I just want to take a quick second to talk about our sponsor, Sunbasket. I don't know if you know this about me, but I am not a big fan of grocery shopping or meal planning or anything that goes along with any of that. But I do very much care about eating healthy. But when you don't like to grocery shop or plan meals, it is really hard to cook healthy dinners for your family. And that's where Sunbasket comes in. They're a team of dietitians and chefs that design wholesome, nutritious, and delicious meal kits delivered to your door. Each week, you can choose from a brand new selection of quick and easy meal kit recipes with a wide variety of dietary options, plus dozens of snacks, salads, breakfast items, and more. And you can pick and choose from recipe options like vegetarian, Mediterranean, carb conscious, the list goes on. We just had orzo bowls with broccoli, sun-dried tomatoes, and pea stew, and it was delicious. My kids even liked them. I can't speak to Sunbasket more. I love them. Thanks to Sunbasket's commitments to clean ingredients and organic fresh produce, there's no easier way to eat your very, very best. You just have to go to sunbasket.com/queerfam today to save $120 across your first four deliveries. That's sunbasket.com/queerfam to save $120, y'all, across your first four deliveries, plus free shipping on your first order. Go do that. Get some healthy food. There you go.
This episode is brought to you by Ember. We're happy to have them board, keeping us cool and hot. Mm-hmm. Oh, and this episode is also brought to you by Jamie's mother, because today is Jamie's birthday. She was born today.
My mother's going to be so happy you just said that.
Oh, hello, everyone. I'm Robin.
Hi, I'm Jamie. It's my birthday.
Oh, my God. It is your birthday.
It is. And, you know, my birthday's canceled,
it's
really.
Canceled.
Because my child's birthday is 2 days later. So
you really dropped the ball on that timing there, Jamie.
Really? Well, it was Anne who had the baby, so Anne dropped the ball.
Oh, valid point.
She was due on my birthday.
Oh, that stinks.
I know. See, well, it's my birthday. I'm talking about her birthday, my child's. You see what happens?
Okay.
I don't get my day anymore.
You listen, all the days are gone as soon as you had children. You got to just accept that shit
it's
and
done.
Move on. Before we get into our episode, I wanted to say we had a meetup this past week with five families.
Yeah, you did.
From,
I didn't.
Yeah, you definitely did that. From one of my kids' donors. So it was the donor for Maxine, and there was five different families, and it was like ice skating in Bryant Park, which was during the holidays was maybe the dumbest
Why
thing
would you
ever.
Ever
but
go there,
I didn't want to get involved in planning, and that's what happened, and that was fine. But it was crazy. Like I was talking to one mom who was like so Maxine has this thing where she like incessantly hums, like just like this atonal humming, like all the time, like while she's eating, and you're just like, what are you doing? And she said her son does it. Yeah, and there was like the four of them in particular looked so similar.
Really?
And I don't think it was just because I was looking for it.
I don't know. You showed me some pictures. I didn't see it.
What?
Like you saw it.
What?
I don't know.
I don't know, but anyway, it made me think about
I didn't get
you.
To see them talking.
Maybe. But it made me think about you and where you're at in the process on that. Have you moved it?
No, nowhere.
So I mean, have you guys, you've registered on your bank's board?
On the bank, but we have not.
Has anyone ever reached out? Did you put contact info?
Nobody's ever contacted us. We were in contact with like three other families when we were trying to get more sperm for Orion. We reached out to them And they wrote back. One lady sent a picture. And we were like, whoa, 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 whoa. Nope.
And it freaked you out. And then you were done.
Yeah. We weren't ready to see that.
So did you just like ghost them?
Well, they never reached out again. So
because you probably didn't respond. They sent a picture of their lovely child.
No,
and you
wrote back.
You were all like.
No, they were all like, I might have some sperm for you. And we were all, so we were in contact. And then nobody had the sperm.
And then it was like, peace out.
Then it was like, peace out, deuces.
I wonder if there's a group for your, like, it's like, I was thinking, I had this weird thought, like, there could be somebody who listens to this podcast who could share a sibling.
Probably.
Of you. Like,
yeah.
that could be a thing.
So
I don't know. I know. Anyway, I just maybe
share donor numbers. No, I'm kidding. We're not sharing.
No. I would never. I would. Of course I do. I know
you do. I don't.
I would not.
It's somewhere in my computer. But I've thought about like scoping it out, but
yeah. I just wonder if there's a Facebook group exists or anything.
Because once I go in there, then I can't stop. Once I start seeing stuff, I'm not going to want to stop. And Anne and I have to be on the same page about it. And we have to have time to actually have a conversation about it, which we don't.
Yeah, no. So, of course not.
When we have time to have a conversation about the donor and if we want to move forward, we will. But we're not ready.
It's very interesting stuff, though. It doesn't. It's also like even once you're in it, it's navigating it too. Because it's all these different families and all these different people. And it's just like, and there was like a new lady who I had met.
Down the street. You know,
there is one down the street.
Exactly.
Mine.
And we interviewed a couple who have one down the street. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
yeah, it's a different dynamic. All right.
Anywho.
Well, interesting. all right. Well, before we get into our guest, I wanted to say, folks, you're going to want to join our Patreon community because we just put up like 25 minutes of video footage of the Rosie interview.
Yeah.
And it's like the first half of the interview pretty much.
And it's all just Rosie. You don't really see us, which you don't want to see us anyway. So
that's all there. And if you want to join us there, we put that kind of content up in parenting tips and questions and all kinds of stuff up there.
We have all kinds of videos.
Yeah. That's at patreon.com/ovariestalk. And you could join us there.
You should do that.
Oh, and we have we got to thank our new Patreon member.
Yes. We have to say a huge thank you to Andrea Davey Gislason. Thank you so much, Andrea, for joining our community.
And welcome to the group.
You rock, lady. You really do.
Okay. All right. Let's get, for the enough rambling of us, let's get into this week's guests.
Okay. So this week's guests.
Ashley.
They have, wait, first, coolest name. Go ahead.
Ashley and Bliss Coulter.
Bliss. What a cool name.
And Ashley.
Ashley's a great name too, because she spells it differently. Ashley and Bliss. Like, that sounds so cool.
You know, they do sound like a cool couple. They're cooler
Coulter's
than we are.
Coulter's a cool last name too.
That's like a Bliss Coulter sounds like someone who wrote a book.
It's really cool.
Anyway, they made medical history.
They also did this really cool thing.
The first couple to each carry the same baby.
What's that you say?
Yeah.
Confused? What?
We are. I think we need to get them in here and find out how the hell that happened. And maybe we're going to get their doctor in too, because I have a feeling none of us are going to know what happened.
We're not going to really know how to explain it.
Let's get them in here.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. Hi.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Ashley and Bliss.
Welcome to our studio in Texas.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
So you two are a hard act to book.
Busy.
You haven't listened probably to a lot of our podcasts, but we have a general theme of us stalking guests.
Yes.
Of just being like, no, they're going to be on our podcast. And so we've been stalking you since like last February, maybe?
Yeah, it was like January or February.
It just seemed like that's when you reached out, somewhere around there. Yeah.
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 And then it was like, I did this thing where it was like, I sent just like one more and I was like, we're either going to be creepy at this point or just like, hi. And it was the latter. I'm glad we got in touch.
Persistence is key.
I'm so glad that y'all did. I'm so sorry it took so long.
Well, I mean, you were kind of famous there for a little bit.
A little bit, yeah.
Raising said child is a bit more difficult than we initially anticipated.
Yeah.
Raising a child is a lot of work.
It really is.
It sure is.
I feel like not enough people tell you that, right?
I think they kind of try to, and
we don't listen.
We don't listen.
We don't listen.
That's right. Not yours. And then
we think it'll be easier. We're like, no, not my kid. You're crazy.
Oh, yeah, right. So no, we have this. You're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of that.
Yeah. What's wrong with you?
You must not be as awesome as we are.
Right. Exactly.
Well, we want to start with you guys where we start with everyone, which is the elevator pitch about your family and about your relationship. Can you each do that? Tell us about yourselves.
So Ashley and I met in 2012. We had similar-ish groups of friends. And so we had a lake party and she was on one pontoon boat. I was on another.
So Texas.
Yeah. So Texas.
Yeah, very Texas, yes. And then it went from there and then
moved in with each other, you know, did the whole thing. Got married in 2015. And we started talking about having a baby. Mm-hmm. I would say like 2 months into our relationship.
I was like, okay, how far is this going?
Because I want a kid. Like, where are we at with that? Because I ain't going to waste my time with you. That was kind of how that conversation went down, though. So,
and you were like, I'm all in on that.
Yeah. And I was like, yeah, let's wait a couple years until we circle back around to this conversation.
Yeah.
Because I was like, let's just make sure this lasts before we sit here and talk about babies. So,
I mean, that does seem prudent.
I mean, you know, it's true.
I just wanted to make sure because I don't want to keep moving forward if you don't want kids.
Efficiency was key. So yeah. I get that in the conversation.
It's an important conversation to have.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is. Then I believe it was probably 2017 when we really started deep diving conversations about
it. Well, we got pregnant in 2017. So
2016.
It was
2016. Yeah. And so just kind of what that looked like and what process we wanted to do. And, you know, that's kind of when the wheels started turning in the right direction, I'd say.
Yeah. We started researching it like right before we got married. And we were like, okay, we're going to be married for, you know, a year to 2 years. And then we're going to focus on having a baby. We wanted to enjoy, like, you know,
1 to 2 years maximum. That's you were going to enjoy 1 to 2 years and then a baby.
I was like ready to have a baby before we even got married. I was like, listen, when can we make this happen? So that
sounds
was
like it.
Yeah. Then I was like grad school, clinical hours, like getting through that. So just different things, but it kind of all came together, I guess, around 2016. And then so when we started talking about it, I knew that I'd always wanted to have a child. I always knew I wanted to have a child that was biologically my child. Have a little mini bliss running around. I knew I did not want to carry the child. That was never in my cards. I just never wanted that. So then that's kind of when the process started with trying to seek out a doctor that could kind of make that process happen, which then obviously we hit a lot of barriers because that process hadn't happened before. It was more like a surrogacy. I don't know what it was.
Well, they had done like reciprocal IVF before, like other doctors have, but...
And you weren't like, that's what we're doing. You knew you wanted to do something different from that?
Well, we started the process off wanting to do reciprocal IVF. Like, we didn't know that she was going to be involved with the process until we found out about this particular way of doing it.
Can we tell the listeners what's the particular way so that we set that up?
So we did a reciprocal effortless IVF. And it's through a device called the InvoCell. And so we used Bliss's eggs. The fertilization happened inside this InvoCell. So they take the sperm and her eggs and they place the InvoCell inside her body. And kind of the fertilization and the startup of everything happened inside her body. So she kind of gave the pregnancy like a jump start. And then they remove everything and get the embryos. We were able to get 3 embryos and they take them and freeze them. So then we took one of those embryos and put inside me.
Okay,
we have so many questions. Jamie, I wanted to talk about one of my favorite products that we talk about, the Ember Wave.
Oh, I know you.
Right? Yes. Right? You know I love it. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? My sister came to visit for Thanksgiving. Turns out she loves it too, and she took my Ember Wave.
She took it home to Texas?
Yes. She took it home with her. Like, as soon as I told her the Ember Wave is a bracelet that helps you feel colder or warmer at the press of a button, she was like on it. But here's the thing. She was having hot flashes and it was a warmer than normal Thanksgiving and the air conditioning was turned off at her hotel. And so she just took it, never came back. But it did. She was starting to have a hot flash. I witnessed it. She put it on and it was done.
Wow.
Yep. It was amazing.
Well, so she really needed the relief.
Guess so.
It is true, Robin, that not feeling thermally comfortable can make you feel less productive, more stressed.
Yeah, she was less productive. I didn't see her in the kitchen cooking Thanksgiving.
Right, exactly. And mentally exhausting for all those involved, I suppose. And even though EmberWave is not a medical device, EmberWave can help remedy bursts of temperature extremes or other uncomfortable sensations for those with medical conditions related to temperature.
Yeah.
So she must have really needed that relief. So you did a good thing.
Yeah, fine.
Happy Thanksgiving.
I miss my Ember Wave. It was there when I needed relief, you know, like outside when it was cold at the playground, I would put it on or I would put it in the fall asleep mode. Because, you know, in those radiator buildings in the city, they kick on the heat.
Worse.
And you can't control it. And it helped me doze off comfortably.
Yeah. Well,
I want it back.
I know. Guess what, though? You're in luck. because they gave us a deal.
Okay.
Listeners get $50 off for the holidays if they go to emberwave.com/OCT. That's EMBRWAVE.com/OCT.
All right. I'm going to go there now.
You should.
Okay.
Just get yourself a new one.
Even though I think my sister should get a new one, but fine. For our listeners.
Kim, are you listening? Yeah. Christmas.
Yeah. That's emberwave.com/OCT. That's EMBRWAVE.com/OCT.
Kim, you better get on there.
Get it.
Okay. So.
Like millions of questions. Well, you go first.
No. So. It was more than just one embryo. So it's like they did an IVF cycle, but they did it inside your body.
So instead of in the laboratory, and that's how sometimes the fees are able to be reduced because your body is serving as a natural incubator, if you will.
Why are the fees reduced?
Because you don't have to pay for that. Because the embryos are inside.
I know, but
her.
Why would that be cheaper? Because they still have to put the stuff together.
They
and
have
put
to
it
put it together, but then you don't have that 5 to 7 days where they're sitting in these.
You're charged
dishes.
For the 5 to 7 days in the dishes?
Because that's probably really expensive stuff.
You got to pay for everything.
But what I'm confused. So, and we've heard all kinds, we've heard every story.
Yeah.
So they. What is the name of this device that they...
It's called the InvoCell.
They extracted your eggs, Bliss, mm-hmm. first, right?
Yeah, many of the eggs.
Many of them. And then they inseminated...
How many did they put in the InvoCell?
They put 6.
In the InvoCell.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then they put all 6 of those in the InvoCell inside your body.
With the sperm.
But it's sealed so that they're not implanting. It's like a balloon almost inside.
It kind of looks like a clear champagne cork.
So they put all 6 of those in and they hope that as many of them become viable as will. And then you got 3 from that.
But wait, I
just
want
to clarify that.
I know, but I'm still trying to understand. They put the 6, they're not already together. They put the sperm and the eggs in there and then they hope it happens in there.
That's right.
Right.
Okay.
Oh, they didn't actually inject the sperm into each egg.
No. Yeah,
that's what makes it cheaper because they're just putting the stuff together in the champagne cork, putting the champagne cork in you.
I don't know. They don't inject it, right? I don't want to say the wrong thing. Doctor, listen to this and be like, no, I don't know if they inject it into the egg.
No, I don't think so because she had talked about the strongest or the most fittest win or something.
That is true.
So that's why it's compared to a very more natural process and that. The combination between the no laboratory fees and no... Yeah.
That's what would make it cheaper.
Yeah.
Because they're just taking the parts and putting them together in a small space and saying, like, come together.
Correct.
Yeah, and then they're keeping them together so then they could pull them out.
Yes, and see how many fertilize.
So from those 6, you got 3.
Correct. Right, we got 3.
And why did they freeze them after and not just immediately put them inside you?
They don't put all 3 in.
No, but why didn't they immediately transfer into her after... They froze them first.
Yeah, they had to prep my body and give me like estrogen. And it was kind of based on like our cycles and everything. They had never immediately taken it from the InvoCell and immediately placed it inside the body. So she was already like using Bliss's eggs, doing it all inside her body and putting it, and they had never done that before, like putting it inside another person. So it was already kind of like a guinea pig type thing. So she was like, I want to at least make sure that we follow the same steps that we would do, you know, where we were using the same eggs on someone. And so she just froze it because that's what they were already doing. She didn't want to like risk it not working.
I'm no doctor, but there's some research, which is extremely interesting to me, that says that when you freeze it, it's actually more viable.
I think it's because it like freezes it at the most viable point or something. It freezes it at that.
So, and then that's the traditional process, if you will, that they're already doing now. So she wanted to go, since we were the first that she's ever done this on, that anyone's ever done it on. Wow. But
how had they done it before? They had a heterosexual couple and they had put them in the little champagne cork and then they took it out, froze it, and then put it back in her?
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They can't immediately take it out because they have to, they
would have to prep
give you
them.
All the medications to, you know, plump up your eggs basically to get them to where they can pull them out. But then you have to take more medications to, I guess, like prep your body. So like she had to take specific medications since we were using her eggs. And then I had to take specific medications since the embryo was going mm-hmm. inside me. And so it was like a month after they froze her embryos before they even put them inside me.
That's similar to reciprocal IVF, mm-hmm. with the exception that they would be shutting you down at the same exact time, and then they would do your 5 days and then directly go in. That's similar, but they added the frozen thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess just because she wanted to follow protocol.
Yeah.
Because they'd never done it.
Because with a straight couple, you would need her to have time to get her body to get it under control to put it back.
Right.
Yeah.
So my question is, how come you didn't just go the reciprocal IVF route? Was it a cost thing, or because it would be the same thing. They would take Bliss's eggs and implant it inside of you, an embryo.
Yeah, we weren't really too familiar with reciprocal IVF. We didn't really know that was a thing. And so after we had met with Dr. Duty and she explained this process to us, we didn't even really know that it was going to be cheaper either. We were already going to this clinic, seeing a different doctor. And we just happened to see a news article about Dr. Duty and this process that she did. And she advertised on her website, you know, same sex. Yeah. And so we were like, well, let's just go meet her and try it out. And when she went over all of this with us and she explained it to us, we were like, oh, wow, both of us will get to carry the baby. And she kind of laughed and was like, oh, yeah, like, I didn't even think about that.
I mean, it's the coolest thing.
Cool. Yeah.
And, you know, we talk about this all the time, mm-hmm. gay drafting. If you see a website that says we like gays, you go right there. Like, yeah. We all do it.
But what I'm so fascinated by is it's like you stumbled on this.
Really
Yeah, it's like you were just kind of were going this place and you were like, oh, you can do this champagne cork. I'm going to keep calling it the champagne cork bottle thing now. And you stumbled on the coolest, most amazing thing.
Awesome. Yeah. It really was. Really how it all started is, you know, I was talking to one of my coworkers about it and they're like, oh, I want to have a baby biologically mine. I don't want to carry it. And this was, you know, weeks before. And then one day she came to work and she said, you know, I just saw something. I think it was WFAA here in Texas that had covered the story on care fertility. And they were like, she was like, you should look into this. I'm not exactly sure what it is that they're talking about. So then we Googled it and that's how we came to the doctor. And first it was, you know,
we were already
call.
Going to that practice seeing another doctor. Yeah. We were like, oh, we're already going to that same practice. We just don't see that doctor. So it was like.
But it's only this one doctor.
Yeah,
it's only this one doctor that's doing it.
Are more people doing
it? Her husband. I think that there might be now some other doctors that might do it in different states, but they're the ones that have started it and they travel. Like I know last time, she was going to China teaching the procedure to doctors in China.
Well, but it feels like if you think about it, it's really specific because most people, I don't know, I'd be making up numbers if I said 90%, but most people who are doing IVF are doing it because they're having difficulty with fertility. Yeah. So the idea that you're just putting the eggs and the sperm in there for them to, they're having a problem and that wouldn't work. So it feels in a weird way, like really particular for gays, lesbians or surrogacy.
I don't know. Why would they do it for straight people?
Surrogacy.
That would really be the only thing, like the implantation part. They had any issues with their tubes, like any blockage or whatever.
Like any situation where they needed to harvest eggs.
Right.
You know, like where they weren't
couldn't travel through the tubes, then they have to just
or surrogacy.
Actually, it doesn't help the implantation because it still has to implant once it goes back into the womb. Right.
Although no, because they're putting it in a different person. You're putting it in a surrogate or
For straight people they're gonna put it into a surrogate.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought they were putting it back into the why I don't understand why you would do that. Oh, okay.
But I feel like this should be like lighting a fire for the lesbians.
I feel like a bunch of lesbians at home are that don't have kids.
They're calling Dr. Duty
Go look up Dr. Duty.
Babe.
Babe.
Wait, but
Google Duty.
How much do you know how much cheaper it is?
Yeah, it's like half the cost.
Really? Could you tell us how much you paid or is that too personal?
Yeah, no, I don't mind.
It's on their website.
Yeah.
Overall, all of the costs, they still add up.
Ended up having to have procedures done. So ours, I think close to everything, we still ended up having to pay 18 to 20.
Yeah.
But she had to have a fibroid removed and I had to have stuff done. So it wouldn't be that much for everyone. That's what we paid.
Right. Probably $15,000.
No, I think it shaves it down to if you don't have to have anything done,
extra,
$8,000 to $10,000 with medications included.
And it worked on the first try.
Yeah. We got pregnant on the first try.
Wow.
And how many did you actually put into Ashley that were, you fertilized three came out that were viable?
Yeah. Yes. And we just put one in me.
Yes.
Just you one.
Was dead set on not having twins.
One.
Yeah.
Twins. You were I just got used to the idea of babies. Can you chill out with the, You would have had twins, wouldn't you have, Ashley? Put them all in. Yeah. By the way, don't say that. We have an upcoming episode with a woman who went to Mexico to do like a cheaper version and they put in three and she had triplets.
Yeah.
So
there's not any.
That's a lot of babies.
World. Yeah, actually, now that I have my son, there's no way that I could have done twins. Ooh, I'd have ripped my hair out.
Everybody figures it out. But yes, I think it's definitely a journey.
So you have two more on ice?
We do.
That's right. Yeah. Right next to the Bud Light.
Yeah. Just hanging out right there.
Now, are you guys going to have another?
Yes. That's the burning question, isn't it?
Oh, I heard yes real quickly from Ashley.
Yes, she said yes. We're going to have another. We're probably going to wait.
Do you have a, Bliss, do you have a choice in any of this?
No, it doesn't sound like it, does it?
Are you going to do the same procedure?
Well, I mean, but they don't need to, though, because they have the two on ice. They would just put them in Ashley, right?
Oh, because it already started out in your Bliss.
I use my eggs for the second baby. Or
oh. Yeah. Would you carry Bliss?
No.
You got jokes. Nope. That's a negative. That's a hard no right there.
But would you? No, I guess you can't start them out in your body. Could they do that?
No.
Like take my eggs and put them in her. I don't know.
Just to start them out in the little
thing. Anything at this point.
Yeah, I feel like our dog.
Wait. There's, by the way, this episode feels like there's math. Like I'm like this. I'm like, wait, I'm thinking. So you're saying you want it to be your egg. So you would just, Ashley, I'm sorry. I'm pointing at the screen and I just remembered this is a podcast, you idiot. And no one could see me pointing at Ashley. Yeah. But so Ashley, if you want this to be your genetics, that's what I'm hearing you say, right? For the second. So then you just keep the other two frozen?
Yeah, I mean, because she's only going to let me have two kids.
Mm-hmm. And then
she does have some say.
Yeah, yes. That's why we haven't really decided. Like, our son is really cute, and I would love to have another one that looks like him. She makes really cute babies. And I have, like, some health problems on my side of the family that I'm kind of worried about. Mm-hmm. So we haven't decided yet.
Well, and they're already there. I feel like it would be enticing. You got those two fertilized eggs just waiting for you.
I use them.
I mean, I'm not trying to like get involved in your business. It sounds like I am, though.
Sounds a little bit like you.
I don't mean to be.
Yeah, it's very open. You know, a lot of people, our friends and family, ask us that as well. Like, are we going to use my eggs again or her eggs? And so the initial deal was, you know, one child from my eggs and one child from her eggs. But so then if that changes and it changes. But yeah, either way.
Here, I'm like, I don't know if I could make a kid as cute as like the kid that she made.
That's great.
You're both cute. You'll both make some cute kids.
Okay.
Oh, so did you use anonymous donor sperm bank?
Yeah, we use sperm bank anonymous.
And do you have more of his sperm?
Yes.
Yeah.
So you would use the same donor?
Oh, wait, no, we would have to get more of his sperm.
That's true,
because we used it all for your eggs.
Do you know if he has more in the bank?
We kind of check it like every month or so, and he's still got a pretty good stock.
That's great. Mine retired. I had to buy him out of retirement. It was like a whole thing.
Oh, God.
Yeah, like...
a lot.
Yeah, I had like, why was it once? I can't even remember at this point. The first one, and then he was out, and then a whole thing.
It's a whole
Bolivia
thing. So keep monitoring that. And if it gets low, you better buy it up. You better buy it up.
Think like, oh my gosh, I need to go check again.
Well, I checked it like.
Or just like buy him and hold it. Because you can sell it back at half price.
Yeah, that's true.
I know it depends on your bank, I guess.
No, as long as it hasn't left the facility. Storage facility. You buy it and keep it there.
I just like have an image of you guys having like all kinds of reproductive parts in freezers all over the world.
This is really amazing. This is mind blowing.
It really is.
It's kind of the lesbian dream.
What was the impact of this? Had anyone else ever done this before, like a same sex couple?
No one we know, no one has ever done it before. That's why I guess it got coverage all over the world because this is the first time it had ever happened. The impact I feel is huge. And being able to say that for me is because of the immense amount of people that reached out to us on Facebook. Specifically on Facebook. I mean, obviously we got emails and calls and, you know, news reports, things like that. But when we would hear the stories from people that would private message us or, you know, comment on our page or something, you know, you've given me hope. Thousands of people reached out to us. Like, we couldn't keep up with it. But just saying, you know, I didn't know this was even possible. And this is exactly what I've been looking for. My story sounds just like yours. I mean, the stories just go on and on. They were coming from all over.
Yeah. And it was like constant. It was like so many
for months on end.
So many people reaching out to both of us. That's why y'all's message got lost.
Yeah, I'll be honest. That's why. Yeah. So I feel like the impact is, you know, huge. And of course, now it's, you're everywhere. If you Google our name, it pops up. So, you know, through this, I was transferring from one job to another. So they all knew me and my story quite well before they hired me. But it's a great organization.
You didn't have to come out to that.
Oh, yeah. You didn't have to come out at all.
No, not at all.
Her laundry was aired.
Yeah.
Did you get any negative comments from anyone or?
I didn't personally, but when, like, let's say WFAA or someone who is airing it, you know, would post a story and you see all the comments from just general public, there would be stuff on there that, you know, I don't drink that haterade. So I'm like, okay, let them go on and
drink the haterade.
Well, I had my page was public. And remember that guy was like, I had to make my page private because he went in and was like commenting on pictures of our son, Stetson, and was like making fun of the way he looked. He was like, yes. And so I remember that guy. Everyone, like all of our friends and family, like attacked him. Then I just like deleted it. And
was there any religious stuff? Like we put up, but what was the episode that we just had all that religious stuff about? Oh yeah.
The preacher and his husband.
A Southern preacher. And we could not believe the amount of hate of like the religious right. Cause in a way, if you're on that side, there's this like, you're messing with nature argument that they can make. Do you hear a lot of that?
Yeah, for sure. But yeah. I mean, for me, it's just that I clicked the delete button and it was gone.
Yeah, it really bothered us. We had, you know, we had people send us messages. And the good thing about Instagram and Facebook is you can kind of just like filter those out. So if it's anybody that, you know, you can go in now and like accept those messages or decline them. Yep. And if I just read the first few words and could tell that it was negative, I was just like, delete. We had a lot of
affected
people.
By
no,
like that,
we had so many people like tagging us in negative comments, like so many of our friends and families, and they were just like sticking up for us. And we had so many people that were just having our backs, and we didn't have to read all of the negative because our friends and family were kind of taking care of it for us.
Nice. You have a posse.
We're both Leo, so we're very thick skinned. So like none of that bothered us.
When's your birthday?
August 10th.
August 14th.
August 12th.
Yeah.
You're the 13th?
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm not a Leo.
Two so Leos I don't feel like in I'm a relationship.
Right now.
No, Jamie, you're still a part of the club.
That's your next show.
Two Leos in a champagne cork. That's the name of the show.
Wow, that sounds like a bad joke.
I was going to ask you. Now I've lost my focus. It was about, this is what I was going to say. At the same time when you have a brand new baby, was that a lot to juggle?
Yes, it was for me.
I loved the attention. And I was ready to do all the media interviews.
Yeah, I was one that finally had to take a step back. And I was like, this is getting too much. Because we had it was like constant. And I finally was like, had to tell her, I was like, I can't do this anymore. Like I was getting very overwhelmed. But I was like breastfeeding still. Yeah. And he wasn't sleeping very good. I had just gone back to work. So it was a lot.
So now you have your little boy, Stetson. How old is he?
He is 17 months.
So he's running around a little.
He is. He's all over the place. He's so much fun, though. This is a really fun age. Mm-hmm. We're really loving
him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and to our listeners, like Jamie and I are in awe because we set this up for, I don't know, like 8:30, 8:15, whatever. And they were like, yeah, we'll put him down at 8:00. We can be ready at 8:15. And Jamie and I were both like, what? We're like, how are they?
Possible?
How is that? And then they were like, had a phone with a camera and they were like, yep, no, he's asleep.
Still awake. Yeah, no. Well, at first she was like, no, I think he's still awake.
Oh, he's fine. He's fine. He's not bothering
us. My kids would have been throwing shoes at the door.
Oh, like punching walls. Like, it's like, I don't know what you all are doing, but you're doing it well.
Good job.
Thank
routine,
you.
Routine. Sticking
well,
to
I'll tell you what happened tonight. Bliss put him to bed.
That's right.
And so I'm the sucker because when I put him to bed, it takes a good solid, 45 minutes because I rock him and I love and he plays. And, you know, I'm the pushover. And Bliss goes in there and he just lays his little head down like a little angel. And he's like, okay, mom, whatever you say.
It's true.
Yeah. Bliss has got a little badass vibe. Like you got a little Bliss. Casey Musgrove, like badass thing going on. Like,
totally.
She's like, me? What? Yeah, I'm a badass? Okay.
She's the law layer.
Yeah, we can see it. You can see the relationship.
Mm-hmm. You're like the law layer when it comes to like finances. I'm the law layer with everything else.
So we already know he's adorable. What's it like parenting little Stetson?
It's fun, but it's exhausting. He is a handful. He's all boy. He's all over the place. You know, he went straight from crawling to like running, I feel like. And he's got a really big personality. So it's hard, but I love it. He's so much fun. I honestly am exhausted 24/7, but I can't I don't remember what it was like to not have him. Bliss will probably be like, oh, I remember. We got to sleep more.
Yeah, I remember exactly what it was like. Yeah. No.
We always say
that too.
We went to brunch. Yeah. That's what I remember. Brunch was fun.
It's entirely.
I miss brunch.
We went to the bars before.
Oh my God. The other night, it took us 3 hours to get through a 1 hour show. Just with the interruptions from the guy. And this was after bedtime. So.
By the way, or I finished a conversation.
Oh, yeah, that doesn't happen.
God forbid. Either. Without being interrupted. Mama, mom, mom.
I think from my perspective, being a parent has come much harder to me than I thought, because I enjoyed my adulthood and freedomhood. And I did remember what it was like before a child, all those things. I wouldn't change it for anything. Of course, he is absolutely wonderful and amazing. Keeps us on our toes. Obviously, we're very, very tired all the time. But, you know, I think one thing for me was growing up gay, knowing I was gay my whole life, that I was like, well, I don't think having a kids is in the card for me, especially not because of being gay, but because I knew that I did not want to carry a child. So that was my thought process growing up for years and years. And then as I got older, and really it was not until I met Ashley that I was like even thinking about, oh, we could have a child, like if she was willing to carry the child, you know, however that process looked like, you know, way back when we were just initially getting together. But that's kind of when it came more to light for me. But my struggle in my head really was, I'm not meant to be a mom, you know, so I'm not going to do it well. And so that thought was like constantly crossing my mind. Like, I don't know how to be a parent. Like, I'm still a kid myself. Like, you know, how am I going to raise a kid when I'm just still figuring out my own self? And so
we're all
those
faking
thoughts
it.
Are
all
kind
of
what I had in my head.
Yeah, a lot of couples we talk to, one of the women in the couple always says, I didn't think I was going to be a parent. There's always one person who they didn't think it was really in the cards for them. Not always, but for the most part.
But we all, like, I think sometimes about my kids and I think, if they had any idea how little I know what I'm doing, they would be scared. But it's good they don't know.
Yes. Yes. They knew how much I was winging it right now.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Totally.
Thank you, so you make it 100%.
Well, you're not alone. We're all there with you.
We're all doing it. And you got him to sleep
at all.
Yeah. Real quick. So you're doing something right.
17 months old went to sleep in 10 minutes.
That's crazy.
Yeah, you're handling it. It's all happening. Oh, well, this was wonderful. Yeah. Thank you guys for sharing your story.
I thought we'd heard everything. And we've talked to a lot of couples about different ways of making their children.
And we talked to you and even researched it a little, and I still didn't understand it. So I'm so glad that thank you for your patience with us being like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Because that
I feel like maybe confused y'all even more, but
no. The champagne cork thing really helped me. I know I keep like harping on it, but now I get it. Now I can see it.
It's a gay miracle.
Just like this recording.
It's a gay miracle. Oh my God. I'm so happy for you guys.
Well, thank you guys so much. And when you do decide to have that second baby, we'll need some kind of an update. Just because we're now invested in your life.
Of course.
Whether you want us to be or not.
When we come to Texas, we're coming over for dinner. So just get ready.
You're full.
All right. Well, listen, guys, before we actually wrap this up with our eggs ovaries out, we did actually end up going out to Dr. Duty.
Yeah, because we needed to hear
actually, when I say we, I mean Robin actually reached out to Dr. Duty and we got her to tell us a little something about this.
Let's hear her explain what effortless IVF actually is. Yeah. She's going to talk about who's a candidate and how it works.
How it works.
Let's let her.
This is a lot more scientific stuff than we could
will not
possibly.
Understand.
It's effortless. That's the point.
Yeah.
It's not
let's
really
let's hear from Dr. Duty.
Yeah, okay.
Effortless IVF is an innovative technique for IVF developed by my husband, Dr. Kevin Duty, and myself in 2014. Effortless IVF uses a personalized preset dosing of the fertility injections for the entire IVF cycle. This is based on two pieces of information: the woman's body weight and body mass index, coupled with a blood test which measures the woman's egg count or egg reserve. This concept is combined with the use of the InvoCell device, which allows the eggs to fertilize naturally in the woman's body rather than a laboratory incubator. The InvoCell device, which was approved by the FDA in 2015, is a plastic capsule which has an inner chamber to hold the sperm and eggs and developing embryos for 5 days. The InvoCell device is placed into the woman's vagina at the end of the egg harvest process. This aspect is one that excites many women. They feel the process is more natural. Many feel they are playing a greater role in their baby's early development. Effortless IVF is a disruptive technology, which is different from traditional IVF in several aspects. In a traditional IVF cycle, a woman will typically have 6 to 8 appointments for blood tests and ultrasounds. Frequently, the timing of the appointments varies from day to day, depending upon the woman's daily test results. This can make planning a cycle around a work or home schedule quite challenging for many women. Effortless IVF patients know the dates and times of their monitoring appointments at the onset of their cycle. Many women and couples are candidates for effortless IVF. Key points include women with normal or high egg reserve. As I mentioned previously, weight and BMI are a factor. A weight less than 190 pounds, as well as a BMI less than 35, are needed for effortless IVF. Lesbian couples or single women using donor sperm are typically excellent candidates. Infertile couples with normal to mildly abnormal sperm parameters can also undergo effortless IVF. For a more detailed discussion, please visit our website at www.effortlessivf.com. Kevin and I have been passionate about increasing access to IVF care in the United States. Our journey with Effortless IVF has made us even more aware of the tremendous need for affordable IVF as couples build their families. We have had several couples return for second or even third pregnancies from Effortless IVF using their frozen embryos. Bliss and Ashley's voice has had a huge impact on raising the narrative, not just in the United States, but globally as well. Their passion to share their story has helped many couples become more aware and informed about their fertility options.
That was amazing, right? I feel like that she succinctly explained what it was, right? I think I get it.
I love that this is out there.
Yeah.
Why wasn't this out there when I needed it?
Well, because Dr. Doody hadn't invented it yet.
Dr. Doody,
her husband.
What took you so long?
I know. Or why weren't you up in New York? Well, whatever. I think it's a more affordable option. And I think folks should check this out if it sounds like something that could work for their family.
Yeah. This is so exciting. Yeah. This is so exciting for everyone, but also gays. I'm so excited about this. This could change everything. It's a game changer.
All right.
You guys reach out to Dr. Doody. Get this done and tell us if it works. Okay.
I know. I wish we had known that existed. I mean, that's, I don't know if we would have done it, but I
think we would have done it. Well,
you definitely would have done it, I feel like.
I would have definitely for our first.
Yeah.
But then
the second, it was just like, fuck it, just give me the baby, for God's sake.
Yeah, well, we went through a lot of trouble, but still.
You know what's interesting, though, is like a couple of days ago, someone forwarded you and me a New York Post article of some British couple who's, it sounds like, this is controversial to me. They said, we're saying they were the first lesbian couple to like both carry the baby. And I was like, hey, I was like, this sounds like what Ashley and Bliss did.
Yeah.
And Dr. Doody.
Yeah.
So,
drama.
So somebody needs to say, hey, Dr. Doody, get your publicist.
Battle of the Nations.
I want to cease and desist. Toward the New York Post.
Wow, you get real.
Getting all lawyerly.
I was just being jokey.
I mean, I'm protective of Ashley and Bliss. They're first.
Well, it's actually Dr. Doody.
Well, whatever.
You're being protective of,
well,
right?
All of them.
Like,
they're all our friends now, Jamie.
I mean, we want a million people to do this, so.
Oh, folks. Well, listen, we need to remind you that we're off for the next 3 weeks for the holidays back on January 13th.
January 13th.
So.
That's my friend's birthday. Happy birthday, Randall.
Enjoy your holidays, everyone. Randall, you too. I mean, enjoy your holidays. This is our weirdest outro ever.
I know. Yeah, we should keep the conversation
going.
Let's
do that.
Join us on the social. Our community, you can join our community on Patreon. That's patreon.com/ovariestalk. There is all kinds of extra content over there. We keep adding to it.
Yeah.
And the most biggest thing now.
The Rosie video.
All of it. Yeah. Like, it's like.
It's most of the interview. It's a lot of the interview on
video.
So you
get to see her actually talking. You don't see us very much.
And also,
but
it's
not like you
want to
see
our phones
us.
Ran out. Nobody cares about us. They want to see Rosie.
Yeah.
Anyways, so. And get us on Twitter at Ovaries Talk.
You know what? She really plays to the camera. She's such an entertainer.
But like, what a pro. I thought the same thing. I was like, and I told that to Mary. I go, look at her playing to the camera.
Right to the camera.
And Mary goes,
every joke.
Mary goes, I thought that she was trying to include me in the conversation. I said, baby, no. I said, she's playing to the camera. I was like, she's a fucking pro.
Mary, she was talking to you.
I know. She was talking to you.
But it was really impressive. Every joke she told,
she landed and looked right at the camera.
Oh, my God. Amazing.
God damn, we need to be that
pro.
Good, Jamie.
I know.
Anyway, Ovaries Talk on Twitter. Ovaries underscore talk on Insta.
If These Ovaries Could Talk on Facebook. Join our community there, and you can talk to other listeners, too. So we do have a private community. If These Ovaries Could Talk.
Thank you to our sponsor, Ember. You helped make the show possible, so thank you.
Thank you so much.
It possible for my sister to steal my Ember, so send me a new one, for
and
God's sakes.
Keeping Robin calm.
Damn it, give
me another
one.
Which helps me.
All right, I'm going to use the code. Fuck it. All right. Eggs.
Ovaries.
Out.
Out. If his ovaries could talk, they would say,
eggs, ovaries, out. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.